According to someone's calculation, 125 people died in World War II for every word in Adolf Hitler's book, Mein Kampf. It's a sobering reminder of Proverbs 18:19, which says, "Death and life are in the power of the tongue." Yes, the 2 pounds of flesh attached to the bottom of your mouth is either a positive life-giving source or a weapon of mass destruction. With it, you can build people up or tear people down. No wonder Jesus said, "On the day of judgment, people will give account for every careless word they speak." And whoever said sticks and stones may break my bones, but words will never hurt me, was either terribly naive or a liar, liar, pants on fire. I'm Ron Jones. Something good starts right now.
Sticks and stones may break your bones, but words can crush your spirit. Hello, I'm Brian Davis, and you're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones. Great is the power of the human tongue. It can divide or unite, kill or give life. Today, Ron returns to the book of Proverbs to show us how we can use our tongues for good and not for evil, to build one another up instead of tearing one another down. Visit somethinggoodradio.org to listen to the broadcast on demand on your schedule. That's somethinggoodradio.org. Now from Atlantic Source Baptist Church in Virginia Beach, Virginia, where he serves as lead pastor, here's Ron with part two of his Something Good Radio message, Speaking Words of Wisdom.
You know, politicians today raise themselves to a pretty high standard. They say a leader should always be somebody who unites people, doesn't divide people. And then they use their tongues to divide Americans, pitting this group against that group for their own personal and political gain. Tired of that in politics. But when that kind of politics gets inside the church, and people use their tongues to cause divisions, to sow discord, It's a terrible thing. And as I read through the New Testament, I find there are at least two strategies or schemes the devil uses to bring down a church. One is false doctrine, and the other is sowing discord, divisions. Every one of Paul's New Testament letters, he addresses false doctrine, and he addresses divisions taking place within the church. Read, for example, the letter to the Corinthians. What a divisive church it was. They were divided over who their leaders were. Some were of Paul, some were of Apollos, some were of Peter. And they were divided into camps. And Paul says, listen, that's a hogwash. These things ought not to be so. And so, sowing discord is one of these sins of the tongue. Proverbs 6, verses 12 through 15 says, "A worthless person, a wicked man, goes about with crooked speech, winks with his eyes, signals with his feet, points with his finger, with perverted heart, devises evil, continually sowing discord. Therefore, calamity will come upon him suddenly. In a moment, he will be broken beyond healing." The Bible not only calls out the person who sows discord with his or her lips, but then talks about the consequences that will follow. Calamity will come upon him suddenly, and in a moment, he will be broken. You say, well, Pastor, how are we supposed to deal with the person who uses his or her tongue in a divisive kind of way in the body of Christ? Well, I'm glad you ask, because the Apostle Paul said these words in Titus chapter 3 and verse 10, "As for a person who stirs up division, after warning him once and then twice, have nothing more to do with him." It's a serious matter. It's a serious matter to use your tongue to divide people into camps. And one of our favorite ways to do that is through gossip and slander and backbiting. These are all mentioned in the book of Proverbs and elsewhere in the Bible. Gossip, slander, backbiting. You know what backbiting is? It's talking about somebody behind their back negatively. If you're going to talk about somebody behind their back, say a positive thing. Say an encouraging thing. But when you say something about somebody behind their back in a negative way, you're a backbiter. And the Bible has some strong words for that. So for instance, Proverbs chapter 11 and verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. Proverbs 16 and verse 28, a dishonest man spreads strife, and a whisper separates friends. That's the gossip. They go around whispering. Did you hear about this? I heard. When you start a conversation or hear somebody start a conversation, I heard, stop right now. Stop right now. You're spreading gossip. And you ought not participate in that. And if you're a leader in the church, you need to step into that conversation and say, we don't do that here. We should have a no-tolerance policy in the church when it comes to gossip, slander, backbiting, and our sensitivities raised to it as much as it would be to immorality. Because again, the devil uses this to bring down a church, especially when things aren't going the way everybody wants it to. The whisper. Proverbs 20 and verse 19, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with a babbler. You shut that person down right now in the love of Jesus Christ and tell them, we don't do that here. And don't associate with that person. After one rebuke and two rebukes, if they don't respond, distance yourself from that person. You're fired. We're not going to have that around here. These are strong words. But Ann Landers years ago, as Ann Landers or one of the other columnists, personified gossip and wrote this in one of her columns, my name is gossip. I have no respect for justice. I maim without killing. I break hearts and ruin lives. I am cunning and malicious and gather strength with age. I am more quoted, or the more I am quoted, the more I am believed. I flourish at every level of society. My victims are helpless. They cannot protect themselves against me because I have no name and no face. To track me down is impossible. The harder you try, the more elusive I become. I am nobody's friend. Once I tarnish a reputation, it is never the same. I topple governments and ruin marriages. I ruin careers and cause sleepless nights, headache, and indigestion. I spawn suspicion and generate grief. I make innocent people cry in their pillows. Even my name hisses. My name is gossip. Again, no tolerance policy when it comes to the negative and misuse of our tongue. You see why I wanted to deal with the negative first and then turn positive? Because I want us to all walk out of here with a smile on our faces. But there are ways in which we can use our words to tear people down and to tear churches and organizations down. If you're a business owner or an employer, you need to have a no-tolerance policy when it comes to these kinds of things, because it'll destroy company morale when you have a whisperer and a gossip and a slanderer and a backbiter. Okay. So the next observation is in a positive direction, and that is that our words can lift people up. And no greater use of our words than to encourage and to lift people up, even to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Let me give you four or five ways, and just touch on this from Proverbs, four or five ways that our words can lift people up. The first is by giving wise counsel. Proverbs 10 and verse 32 says, the lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Proverbs 15 and verse 7, the lips of the wise spread knowledge, not so the hearts of fools. Proverbs 15 and verse 22, without counsel plans fail, but with many advisors they succeed. Do you need some wise counsel? Boy, one way that you can be an encouragement in this way or lift people up is by offering wise biblical counsel. After 11 weeks in the book of Proverbs, you ought to be able to offer some wise biblical counsel and to lift people up when they need some direction. I hope we have a lot of people who can provide that kind of counsel in our church. The other is through wise teaching. Proverbs chapter 10 and verse 11, the mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. Proverbs 10 and verses 20 and 21, the tongue of the righteous is choice silver. The heart of the wicked is of little worth. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of sense. God has gifted some of you to teach whether it's in a school to little children or high school children or middle school children, maybe even at the college or university level. Others of you are Bible teachers and Sunday school teachers and small group leaders. God's given you the gift of teaching. What a positive use of our tongues to provide not only wise counsel, but wise teaching and instruction from God's word. James chapter 3 tells us that those who teach are held to a higher standard. So be careful just walking into that profession, not knowing the accountability that will be yours and ours as teachers of the word of God. But we can encourage people and lift people up by our teaching. Probably every one of us in this room remembers a teacher that really made a difference in our lives because of the positive way they lifted us up and helped us to broaden our horizons and to broaden our scope of knowledge.
Still ahead, the second half of today's message with Dr. Ron Jones, so don't go away. Be sure to remember this web address, somethinggoodradio.org. That's the place to go to hear any of Ron's messages on demand. When you come see us, check out our digital library, where you can search for answers to some of life's most challenging questions, answers Ron has put together during his more than 30 years of teaching God's Word. You can also stream on demand, absolutely free. That's somethinggoodradio.org. How would you like to revolutionize your prayer life? If that intrigues you, you may want to contact us today and request your copy of Ron's full-length book, The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Join Ron as he guides you, phrase by phrase, through the power and beauty of the prayer that begins, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. That's The Jesus Way to Pray, an intimate journey through the Lord's Prayer. Request your copy for a donation of $25 or more. Share it with a friend by requesting a 2-pack for $50, a 4-pack for $75, or an 8-pack for $150 or more. Give online at somethinggoodradio.org or over the phone by calling our offices at 757-276-1099 or mail your gift to P.O. Box 6245, Virginia Beach, Virginia 23456. Now for more on the power of the human tongue. Here's Ron with the rest of today's Something Good Radio message, speaking words of wisdom.
A third and obvious way we can use our words to lift people up is through encouragement. One of my favorite verses in Proverbs is chapter 25 and verse 11. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in a setting of silver. The right word spoken at the right time in the right context. Oh, it's just a beautiful thing, isn't it? And sometimes it takes a little discernment about what the right word is and when the right time to deliver that word and what the occasion might be. But some of you are very, very gifted in the ability to encourage others. Proverbs 12 and verse 25, anxiety in a man's heart weighs him down, but a good word makes him glad. A good word makes him glad. I have a daily devotional that goes out if you sign up for it on our website. And I just titled it, A Good Word. A good word, because anything from God's word is a good word, right? Hopefully that will make us glad and is a word that is fitly spoken. Proverbs 15, verse 23, to make an apt answer is a joy to a man, and a word in season, how good it is. Again, the right word spoken at the right time on the right occasion is something that fills our hearts with joy. And then Proverbs 15 and verse 30, the light of the eyes rejoices the heart and good news refreshes the bones. Proverbs 16 and verse 24, gracious words are like honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. All of this reminds me of a New Testament character found in the book of Acts named Barnabas. Remember Barnabas? He's called the son of encouragement. I love to meet Barnabas in the church today. There are many across our church family who are just encouragers. Somebody once said encouragement is like oxygen to the soul. And it is. When you speak an encouraging word into somebody's life, boy, it just fills that person's life with a breath of fresh air and oxygen and gladness in their hearts. Find somebody today that you can encourage. I challenge you with that. And we live in such a negative world, such a critical world. The 24-hour news cycle is so, it's such bad news, such criticism, and people pitting themselves against one another and criticizing for this and criticizing for that. Be the kind of person who walks into a room, be the kind of person in your office, be the kind of person in your small group and in your church that encourages people and speaks that glad word that finds the good news in the midst of a lot of bad news. And you don't have to fake it, but do ask God to help you to be an encourager. Here's another way we can use our words to lift people up. And I categorize this as friendly wounds. Friendly wounds. What do I mean by that? Proverbs 27 and verse 6, faithful are the wounds of a friend. Profuse are the kisses of an enemy. What a contrast there. The faithful friend who brings you a wound, a word of constructive criticism. Now, and I'm the first to say, I don't like to receive criticism, and nobody does. But we all need it, right? We all have blind sides. And it's the faithful friend, the friend who has been with you for many years, the friend who unconditionally loves you, the friend who has logged in many days, many months, many years of encouragement in your life. That's the kind of faithful friend that can come and bring a word that might sting a little bit, might wound you. It's not the kisses of the enemy. It's not the person who comes and kisses up to you all the time and flatters you all the time, even from a distance, but suddenly, boom, brings the hammer down. They haven't logged in the times of encouragement, of genuine relationship there. No, it's the faithful wounds of a friend that bring life to us, right? And every one of us needs somebody like that in our life. If you have shut down the kind of conversation to where people can never give you constructive criticism, you're in a dangerous place. That should start with your spouse, who knows you best, who loves you best, who loves you unconditionally. But if you have the kind of relationship where as soon as a little bit of constructive criticism, boy, you shut that down, again, dangerous place. Dangerous place for leaders to never be able to receive constructive criticism. Now, criticism can come from a lot of wild, different angles. It's the faithful friend. Not everybody has the right to speak criticism into your life as faithfully as the friend does who is logged in a lot of years of encouragement and trustworthiness. Proverbs 25 and verse 12, like a gold ring or an ornament of gold is a wise reprover to a listening ear. Find somebody you trust to speak those friendly wounds to you and open up your ear to listen. It'll be like a gold ring or an ornament of gold when that reproof comes along. Here's a fifth and final way we can use our words to encourage others, and this is through humor. Proverbs 15 and verse 13, a glad heart makes a cheerful face, but by sorrow of heart the spirit is crushed. And a couple verses later, Proverbs 15 and verse 5, all the days of the afflicted are evil, but the cheerful of heart has a continual feast. I love the picture of Jesus I see sometimes. It's one of my favorite of him, and I know it's just an artist's rendition and just a speculation, but it's with Jesus with his head thrown back in laughter. It's maybe hard to see it in the black and white pages or red and white pages of the Gospels, but the perfect Son of God, no, he wasn't a comedian, but I bet there were times of great laughter. And there should be times of laughter in our lives. Don't take yourself so seriously. Okay? Sometimes we as Christians and the outside world looks in on us, they think, man, those Christians are just, they look like they're baptized in lemon juice. I mean, come on. Just so serious about things. Yes, we're dealing with matters of life and death and serious matters, but let's not take ourselves so seriously. I don't have the natural gift of comedy. God didn't call me to be a stand-up comedian, thankfully. I'd be in the poorhouse. But I love to be around people who laugh. I love to be around people who have a good sense of humor. I love to be in a meeting with leaders and maybe the conversation is a little tense and somebody breaks the ice with some humor. We need more of that. to just lift our hearts. You know the old study, it takes fewer muscles to smile than it does to frown. So we need to do a little bit more smiling around here than frowning. Well, that is a fast journey through the book of Proverbs, and we left a lot of verses on the sidelines, believe me. There's so much Proverbs has to say about what we say and how we say it. And I want to suggest to you that the highest and most exalted use of our tongues is not just to lift people up, but to lift up the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the old hymn says, "Oh, for a thousand tongues we sing praises to his name." And may that be true of us, that we use our tongues and the thousands of them associated with this church to praise his name and to lift up his name. Because as we use our tongues to praise his name and lift up his name, the scripture promises that he will use that to draw all men and women to himself.
Thanks for being here for today's Something Good radio message, speaking words of wisdom. Ron joins me now. Well, Ron, we've come to the end of another great series here on Something Good. Any final thoughts before we wrap it up about today's message or about the series in general?
Yes, and thanks, Brian. And I do want to add something to the message I shared today on the power of our words. You know, Romans chapter 2 and verse 4 tells us that the kindness of God leads to repentance. And I think we can learn a practical lesson from that scripture. Whether you're dealing with a Christian friend who has stumbled or talking to someone who has never put his or her faith in Christ, a kind word goes much farther than a harsh one. And I'm not asking anyone to sacrifice the truth. What I'm saying is to be wise and gracious when you share that truth. And I've said this before, and I believe it's true. People don't need to be scared out of hell. They need to be loved into heaven. It is kindness and grace and mercy that motivates people to repent. Harsh words, no matter how true they are, often have the opposite effect. And I don't want to get too deep into human psychology here, but when you pile on to people and pile on to the point of condemnation, they often become so ashamed that they feel worthless or hopeless or both, as if they can't possibly change, and as if God couldn't possibly forgive them. We're so much better off speaking the truth in love, knowing that we too are sinners saved by the grace of God, and also knowing that there will come a time when we are the ones being corrected and encouraged to repent. So don't water down the truth, don't avoid it, but share it. And do it in a way in which your speech is filled with kindness, seasoned with salt, and brings honor to the name of Jesus Christ.
The power of life and death are in the tongue. You're listening to Something Good with Dr. Ron Jones, who is here with me in the studio. Ron, before we sign off, what can you tell us about your new series that starts tomorrow?
I sure can, Brian. Have you ever heard people say, "I am really ready for Christmas," or "I'm so ready to retire"? What we usually mean is we'd like those things to happen right now, but it's very possible that we're not ready for them to happen. Presents aren't bought, plans aren't made. Our retirement investments perhaps aren't quite where they need to be. We're not actually ready. We're simply looking forward to the holidays or to retirement or to something else. Well, the return of Jesus Christ, his second coming, is kind of the same way. We might say we're ready for his return, but are we? And what does readiness for his return even look like? I want to explore that question for the next couple of weeks here on Something Good Radio with a study of the letters Jesus wrote to the seven churches in the book of Revelation. Brian, this promises to be of great encouragement to all of us, but also a bit of a healthy challenge for us to make sure we're ready for our Lord and Savior's future and imminent return.
Brian, I, for one, am ready for you to share that group of messages. The series based on Revelation 1 through 3 is called Ready for His Return. And Dr. Ron Jones kicks it off tomorrow with his message, The Blessed Hope. Join us then for Something Good. For Ron and the entire team here at Something Good Radio, I'm Brian Davis. Thanks for listening.